Hi, this is John. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to invite you to visit my website, johnburney.org, where you can join my mailing list, contact me directly for private one-on-one work, access written, audio, and video teachings, and sign up for retreats, as well as find the schedule for my public gatherings. May you realize true peace and happiness. One of the things that I was talking about at the retreat last weekend, we had a retreat, some of us were there, was that where you put your attention, energy goes there. So how we pay attention, how we give attention is actually helpful to look at the quality of the attention and where it's being directed and what happens as a result of that. Because there's a way of giving attention that actually interferes with reality. That's why in scientific experiments they do double-blind studies, because people's attention can actually affect the outcome of the experiment, just their thought. Isn't that interesting? So thought is energy and is powerful. It can be It can cause discomfort or pain. It can also bring about inspiration and healing. So how we think actually is important to consider. Often people say, oh, just get, you know, don't, just cut off the mind, you know, just chop it off like a, just put it in the guillotine and get done with it. Or radical. I mean, that's there's a place to understand what that means, which is understanding the kind of thought that's in the way, that's actually interfering with reality, in fact, even perpetuating or even creating suffering. So that kind of mind, that kind of thinking is not helpful, at the very least. But there's other kinds of thinking that actually can be very helpful. For instance, something as simple as an inner voice that guides you to bring your attention here. You know, something as simple as just a little inner guidance system, so-called mindfulness practice. That can be very helpful. That's a kind of use of thinking, of thought. Sort of like helpful, right? That brings you to a place where you actually can not be caught in an agenda, but more willing to be available for what's happening here. Now, when attention or awareness merges with experience or reality, the personal self dissolves. That's the non-dual realm, the realm of being presence, being connected. So how we give attention is important. So there's a way of giving attention to sensation or feeling or energy that actually facilitates freedom
sort of, yeah, the shift, it facilitates the shift of identity from the personal separate self to this unified big heart, big mind consciousness. It's called freedom, awakened presence, all the different names. The Tao, cosmic consciousness, you know, the list goes on. And you know that we come here and there's an opportunity here, there's a resonance that's accentuated here that brings forth awareness, that brings forth this unified field. And if we're tuned in and we're listening and sensitive, we'll see what's, or we'll feel or hear what's in the way. Maybe our judgments or our expectations or comparisons, our thought could be in the way of this intimacy of being, this connectedness. You know, so when we're not held back and we're not stuck in our belief structure, we actually can move into the realm of now, which is constant discovery. And it's a creative, intelligent realm. You know, Eckhart called it the power of now. I like that. This, and you can feel it, you can feel this, or you can sense it in some way, this openness, this expansiveness, this spaciousness. And when that's present, when that becomes available, then how do you give attention to that so that you don't separate out again? It's tricky. This is where Dogen, famous Zen master from 1200, said, "Here every step leads not away from it." Another way to say it is, your every step towards it is a step away from it. So that's why often when people have awakened presence and consciousness and they try to hold on to it, try to perpetuate it, poof. That's what I mean when that's what I'm referring to, is how we bring attention to what's happening. So we become really sensitized to a kind of interference. It becomes really subtle. Wanting can become very subtle. I mean, you could even, you know, have given away all your possessions and just have a loincloth and a bowl. You'd be sitting on the corner and you're still wanting something. Very subtle. It's keeping you separate. Or you could just be here and wanting could drop away and all of a sudden you're free. And it's like, ah, what a relief to take off that tight shoe called myself. My beliefs, my history, my future, my mental world. To be here, and here is really the realm of fulfillment and intimacy and love and joy and creativity and discovery and contribution, generosity. Because, you know, when you give yourself fully, which is really what I'm talking about another way, I mean, not totally give yourself, you know, it's called letting go, right? When you... I like it as generosity. It's such a beautiful way to see it because it really is a total, it's not no holding back. If you're giving yourself fully, when that happens, there's this complete receiving fully. And that cycle of energy, if you will, that amazing energy of fully giving and fully receiving is what transmission means. Transmission of the Dharma. That's the teaching happens on that level. Where we're coursing in oneness, in presence. And that's a miracle to behold every moment, unknowable and liberating. And, as you know, I'm sure most of you, that it's healing. So as we move into the light, into the presence, that which has been held down or unconscious begins to emerge and can be transmuted, can be allowed and accepted and forgiven, you know, and integrated and released. Like the ice cube, I like to say, you know, the ice cube that you drop into the glass of warm water, it just dissolves back into its original nature. And so you're not caught back in thinking you're just this cold, edgy, slippery thing. But you're this fluid movement of the ocean and the waves. So, where we put attention, that's where energy goes. And how we give attention makes all the difference. People often say, well, you know, if you're caught in being identified as a practitioner, you stay separate. That's true. That's true. But if there's no one taking themselves to be a meditator, then meditation is happening. That's the key, is to drop the one who's identified with doing something. Then things happen, but there's no one doing them. And that's freedom. That's, and you know it. You know that realm. I mean, everyone knows that realm. It's called, I'm happy. At least for a moment. Because there's, you know, when you're really those, what do they call them, the peak experiences. You know, when you're in the zone. Remember, people used to talk about being in the zone. You hit the tennis ball and right in the center, right in that, if you ever play tennis, you know, you just hit it right in that sweet spot and it's like, wow, nothing happened. And the thing just flies. You're in the sweet spot, you know, and that's just, that's what enlightenment is. It's the sweet spot. But I like to keep it simple. Drop all the nomenclature, all the jargon, and just bring it back to, we just want to be happy and fulfilled now. Right? Unconditionally, like whatever. Whatever, regardless of your physical condition, your financial situation, your circumstances, the unknown future, which can be God knows what, right? I want to be able to not have that be a burden. People have to write in for that. What did he say there? What was that? Won't get on iTunes, that's why. So. Yeah. So, but this is the secret for lifting the burden, for making it, you know, the taking the gravity out of the burden so it just lifts off. Gone. Thank you. See? It just rolled away. I remember with fondly when the burden of knowing was lifted. That was amazing. I may have shared that before, but it's so worth repeating. Knowing is such a burden, you know. I mean, in this realm I'm talking about. I'm not talking about all the intelligence that we have that's wonderful and useful and practical and helpful and all that. I'm talking about the knowing that actually becomes a barrier, that becomes a burden, that becomes an identity that limits us or keeps us separate, you know. And freedom is really freedom from the known. And I remember when that lifted, and it was like I'd become literally weightless, like I was floating. I literally felt like I was floating. It was amazing. It was such a relief to not have to know anymore. You know, it's understandable that we want to know, that we want to understand, that the human condition is very much wired into wanting answers and wanting solutions and wanting to solve problems, and we treat liberation in that same way. You know, like 5-year plan. Reminds me of that guy who showed up 1 year and he had heard about enlightenment, he read about it, and he was, you know, very kind of type A, super achiever guy, and God, Ivy League, you know, the whole thing. And met me and said, I read that I can get enlightened. That's what I want. I'm going to get it. And so he worked with me a little bit and came to a few groups. And then we were having a retreat coming up. And there were a couple of spaces a few months later. And there was a couple of spaces, I think. I said, you know, you might want to consider coming on the retreat. That might be helpful. Oh, no, I'll be enlightened by then. I don't need to say more about that. But, you know, it's just, it's funny. Yeah, we're gonna get it. You know what I mean? And of course, that perspective is a kind of knowing, a kind of. And I understand that. It's just, it got me sitting on that Zafu for decades. And I think it's okay to have a strong drive, because it's really our internal guidance system saying, come home. You know, underneath all that is really the truth calling us back to itself. So there's something really good in that desire, actually. Something really right. You know? So we let that power of wanting, longing. It's a longing, usually. A great longing to be happy, to be free, that brings us back. So, brings us back right here. And when we arrive here, it's every moment of arriving here is a great pleasure. Yeah. And we can't hold on to this, we can't understand it, but we are this. And how lovely it is to be here with you and to share this space with you and you know, just to hang out in the light. So if you'd like to come up and do you have any questions or anything else you'd like to talk about or just sit up here, you're welcome. If I don't see your hand, just come on up. And also, we do podcast these talks eventually, so if you prefer your interaction not be in the recording, let us know and we'll edit it. And for those who are listening, I keep forgetting to mention this on the podcast, but for those who are listening to this now in the future, which is, of course, now the present. Anyway, never mind. That's confusing. listen particularly to the silence. You might, and be careful not to get caught up in the words and what people are saying and in the responses, but more listen into what's happening in your listening. behind the surface of the interaction. And then you'll get the teaching. Because the teaching is in the silence, it's in this presence. It can be very, very subtle, or it can be a tsunami. However it comes. Okay. Please, come on up. Hi.
So thank you. I resonated with what you said about the subtlety of wanting, and mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just becoming aware of some of the subtlety in my wanting of awakening and feeling a little stuck in it.
Can you say more about how or how it's showing up?
Yeah. It's very visceral for me. It's a very kinesthetic sense. It's mm-hmm. when I'm trying to, accept what is or love what is or be with what is, I feel this, this effort to do that.
Yeah.
And although I'm becoming aware of it, it just seems to be there with such a subtle quality that I'm feeling stuck.
So in this, I'm interested in what you said, specifically the awareness of the subtlety of the wanting. What's the quality of that awareness? Is it...
The quality of the awareness of the wanting.
Not the wanting.
Right, but the awareness of
it. But how you're... responding to the wanting. Is that like frustrated? Is it like disappointed? Is it...
It's a little bit of frustration.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And you can feel that? Just give your attention there. See, there's even some emotion under there, I think. Mm-hmm. I can sense. That's it, right there. Mm-hmm. See, it's okay to want. It's knee-jerk. I mean, it's just we're built that way.
Right.
But where to put attention, this is what I was talking about during the talk, how we put attention. If you put attention on the wanting, it's just going to keep going. Mm-hmm. You know? But if you can step back, like we are right now, and feel the frustration that there's wanting, that's where the doorway is. That's where something... can shift. Mm. We can't do that. See, we don't let go. We don't become enlightened. Letting go happens by itself. Enlightenment happens by itself. Freedom happens by itself.
Right.
It's a natural force. It isn't man-made.
Woman-made. Becoming aware of that.
People, it's not people-made.
Right.
Person, not person-made.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So put awareness on the I'm actually sensing kind of a combo of anger and sadness.
And yeah, I thought so. Yeah. I thought I could see that. I could feel that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I didn't say it just because I didn't want to get in the way of you seeing it.
It's, I think, something that I didn't want to be aware of.
Exactly. Yeah. That's always it.
Yeah.
I call it the blind spot. Yeah. And when consciousness, like it is now, comes to the blind spot, just rest right now. Let it be. Just let. And this is perfect use of the space, which is just to offer the condition as you are. See, now something's starting to open up. Mm-hmm. You feel that? Mm-hmm. See, there's no more stuckness right at this moment. That's the miracle of what this is, to understand it. Now, this is an actual example of the talk that just was given. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So now let this happen. Let's sit here and let this happen. This opening, expansion, deepening, whatever you want to call it. See, and all it took was telling the truth.
Right.
Not telling the truth like you're telling a story. That's different. That's not the same. This is not in the story. This
right.
is not...
It's what's here now.
This is really a description of exactly what's happening on a very subtle level. Because, you see, the attention that went there brought energy there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we do, in a sense, participate by giving our attention. We do play a role in this, believe it or not. Even though, you know, you read, it's been written, it's already done, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. Doesn't mean we don't pay attention.
Right.
Even Robert Adams, who I was close to, told me, even you know, he said, well, I did lifetimes of sadhana, spiritual practice, mm-hmm. to get to where I was this lifetime where I awakened at 15 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, oh, no, you don't need to do sadhana. Well, maybe you do. Mm-hmm. See?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So it's how we participate. And then there's a way to participate that doesn't strengthen the ego. It doesn't strengthen the separation at all. Contrary to some of the party lines out there today. I'm not a dogma tracker, but I have a certain sense of it. The beliefs, some of the beliefs. We get caught in these different beliefs. It's spiritual beliefs they all have to be exposed, don't they? There are no holy cows in this pasture. Forgive me. Everything is questioned. Everything is holy, actually. That's the real truth. Yeah. And then when you realize that, then you trust your experience rather than push it away and say, oh, no, that's not okay. I can't be angry. That's not okay. I can't, you know, be confused. I can't be sad or, you know, lonely. Or afraid. Well, of course you can, and it's important to acknowledge and to embrace our humanity and to trust it, because it is a miracle, actually. And whatever's happening, even if it's hard knocks, and I'm no stranger to that, it's their gifts, you know, as how we approach them, that can bring great blessings. So, really what I'm saying is we embrace everything as guidance. Everything in our life we can ultimately see is a guidance system. Do you know? When you can begin to really see that, it's kind of amazing. So you take whatever your experience is and you just bring it up and offer it, and it's like, and it liberates. It's liberating. Whatever it is, doesn't matter what the condition is. Isn't that cool? It's all transformative. I think it's why that image of the lotus flower, which is a symbol of enlightenment, was used, because it's rooted in the mud. I love that. That's right on. Come on up. I just want to say happy birthday.
Thank you.
And what a pleasure that you came on your birthday.
What a gift it is to be here.
Good timing.
Good timing. The lotus in the mud, and how beautiful the lotus is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's right.
I forget about the mud sometimes. It's nice to be reminded of that. Thank you.
Yeah, without the mud, there'd be no lotus.
Right. Since the retreat last weekend, was last weekend, right? It's just been 1 week, right? I don't even know.
I know, I don't either. The timeless is infinite.
Yeah, I'm learning to meditate.
Nice.
So it's been quite an interesting week. I've set aside time each morning, about 40 minutes, trying.
That's the magic number.
To reproduce. Yeah, you know, trying to reproduce. And
are you plugging back in?
Not for 4 minutes at a time, you know, 2 minutes at a time, 5 minutes at
a
time.
That's good.
Being distracted and then coming back and being distracted and
that's
coming
fine.
Back.
Doesn't matter.
Cool. I have a puppy and she wants to play, and so I include her.
Really?
I pay attention. I pay attention, and then I come back, and then I don't. And it's just so interesting to watch everything. And then the cell phone vibrates, and someone's texting, and I have to pee, and I want tea, and you know, it's an amazing journey to watch. The distractions, all of the distractions on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to laugh most of the time. And then I'm here today, and it's so easy to drop back in with everyone here.
Yeah, that's why we have these gatherings that really, and I like the word gathering because in a way it's gathering is like a spiral of energy that's moving in and out. It's going into the ultimate center of one-pointedness and out into the infinite space. So it's a gathering. And it's giving and receiving. I just love the image of that. We should tell Chelsea that for the website, okay? I want to have something spirally in there.
That's fantastic. And when you say that, my tendency is to fly away, and I have to remember to ground in my pelvis and feel my feet on the floor, my hands on myself, because I want that.
Energy moves through the bone.
Presence, it does.
You know, the structure channels energy. You know, a lot of people don't know that bone is actually tissue that's alive. That actually energy moves through bone. That's right. See? these are sacred vessels. They really are. As troubled as they might be, or difficult and challenged as they might be, they're still sacred vessels.
One of the things I was noticing today in meditation, and you mentioned it to me in the retreat, and it was about getting there. I was having a hard time getting there. And I find sometimes that I lead with my chin. It's almost as if
it's
I
called,
want to be
yeah,
the next
Alexander
moment.
Called that end gaining, and basically it pulls the head back and down, and basically it's a startle pattern, which is a fight or flight response. It keeps one in a perpetual state of stress or fear.
Correct.
Unconsciously.
Yeah.
That. It's a compression. Yeah.
It's funny. It's not funny, but it's funny also.
Yeah, when you're trying to get there, you're not here ever. See?
Right.
You're always getting there, which is never here.
Right. So I was noticing today that if I pull my chin in, what I was noticing is that if my chin is out, I'm trying to get there, and my heart is beating really fast.
How great that you can see that.
And if I pull my chin in, and somehow align,
good.
I don't know.
I'll give you some feedback on that in a minute. Go ahead.
That my heart quiets down, and it's almost like it stops beating.
Great.
And the breath settles.
Wow. I noticed the difference in you today. It was really noticeable. I mean, from what I've seen you before up in Tiburon, and today it's like you're a different person.
it's my birthday.
It's, yeah, it is.
I'm teasing.
In more ways than one. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And so this, the other thing to do is to realize that your head, your cranium, is basically balanced on your atlas, which is your top cervical vertebrae. And that's, it's designed to be balanced up on the top cervical vertebrae, which is actually behind your ears. It's up here. It's way up here. And so if you visualize up in here, if you put your finger in the back of your head and you go back down and you find the occipital protuberance, mm-hmm. in the center, and you just go right under there, right in there, if you went into there, that's where the head is balanced. So if you tune in there and you just do a little tilt and a little turning like this and see if the head's... You can start getting kundalini happening.
Yay!
I'm just saying this is where a lot of people are unconsciously blocked.
Very sore.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the work of Frederick Matthias Alexander, the Alexander. It's all based on freeing, what he called freeing the neck. That's what he discovered way back at the turn of the century. But he discovered a natural physiological law in movement in mammals. Is that the head leads and the body follows. So if you look at a horse or a dog, it's obvious their head leads and their spine follows. We're like meerkats, we're up on our hind legs. Mm-hmm. So it gets tricky. If we weren't so sedentary, we would have natural, beautiful posture. You see people who don't sit all the time or rarely ever sit in chairs or anything, and they have beautiful use, beautiful body balance, right? But we lose it we start to collapse and we lose it. And... So how wonderful that you discover this. See, and so just bring awareness into that little, you don't have to, the thing that was amazing about Alexander is he was kind of zen and didn't know it, was that he had a kind of non-doing, mm-hmm. which really is bringing awareness there, and by bringing awareness there, the natural contracted pattern of compression, which is a fear response, can begin to be inhibited. Not inhibited in a sense that you're not. There's a natural lengthening that can begin to happen.
I feel that.
I know. I can tell you're feeling it. And isn't that awesome?
It is.
This is why the yoga practices or the qigong, the tai chi practices, when they're really energetically conscious, they all just know this stuff. They discover it. They may not describe it this way, but that's what's happening.
Cool.
Yeah. See, these bodies are vehicles. They're really great. Mirrors. Wow, what a difference.
Cool.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much, John.
You're welcome, Kristen.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay. I gave a mini lecture on the Alexander technique. Yeah, come on up.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi. I'm not sure what I'm up here for exactly, but...
It's okay.
We'll see.
Yeah. I never know what I'm up here for either.
Oh, good.
Or at least I never know what to say. I mean, I never have anything to say. But that's okay.
I know a little bit. So I've been experiencing since last Friday a lot of nerve pain. So I have an injury that it's in the left shoulder. It's really painful. Then it radiates down the arm. And I've seen a doctor and a chiropractor three times, and there's all this sort of, you know, three compacted discs. And my chiropractor saying I need to do traction probably for the rest of my life, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
That's kind of...
kind of scary stuff if I let it go there. And so what I've been noticing... it's just that, like how much do I give in to being a patient? And, you know, that line between taking care of myself and not identifying with the illness or the diagnoses or that kind of thing. And the interesting thing about just being with the pain, which it's constant. It's pretty constant, and it. But what I've been noticing about it is it does change. And even the other day, I tried. I thought, well, instead of being afraid of the pain, I even tried to make in my mind imagine it even being more painful.
which was kind of interesting. And so all of that has just allowed me to kind of be with it more. And I don't know. It's also, you know,
Do you feel it when you're lying down?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like in the table on the chiropractor, for sure, when I'm on my chest. Also, a little less on my back.
That's what I wondered.
A little less so. And I have to sleep on my right side. And,
mm-hmm. So you're always, there's always pain?
Yeah. Except when I'm really, I guess, distracted and I'm engaged in something, something else.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can forget about it. And then I notice it most when it's been hard to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's when I notice the pain the most. It's when I get quiet.
Meditate lying down on your back with your knees up.
Yeah.
Put your calves on a chair or something like that, or put a pillow under your knees.
Uh-huh.
Put something under your head. See if you can get the pressure off, because if there's nerve pressure, you might be able to create a little space, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little, I mean, maybe something, it is sort of, not exactly traction, but something that can help create a little distance in there. Even sight, even visualizing it. Like kind of what I was doing with Christy. You know, that sometimes just even having a sense of space can relieve some of the pressure a tiny bit.
Yeah.
It's worth experimenting with carefully. It may or may not be helpful, but it could be. You know, it helps the nervous system be able to find, if possible, sometimes it's not possible, you know, positions where there's less pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there are. I mean, I was just over there. It's most painful when I'm in the position I think I'm supposed to be in.
And don't be in that position.
Right.
That's the one to do.
That's the traction. My chiropractors are recommending traction. I think this over the door, little pulley thing that for traction. And, you know, I'm only doing a few minutes at a time because this gets painful. But that's the most pain, actually.
Have you ever laid on a very low inclined inversion? Have you ever tried that to see if that makes any difference?
No.
Just curious.
You mean with my back more up? Or
yeah, so that it's like as if you were, you know, like an inversion board.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not horizontal, but you're actually slightly like this. Mm-hmm. So your head's here and your feet are up here.
Oh, head is lower. Okay.
I'm just curious whether that...
No,
you've tried
I haven't.
It.
Mm-hmm. No. Just trying to think of...
So how are you right now? What is happening right now here? What's your experience right here?
Well, I notice it, again, when I don't focus on it, it's, you know, I don't notice
sort
it as
much. Sort of background.
Yeah, it's more background, right?
So it seems like your foreground is very, you have a lot of awareness. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Can you? What happens when you just move into this awareness space right now? That's it. Is that more spacious in a way? Does it give a different? Does it shift the perspective?
I'm feeling sadness.
Yeah, good. That's good. Yeah. That's important to let that come.
Uh-huh.
Let that come.
This is just the latest manifestation of a lot of pain this year for me.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
And it's important to let that sadness come out.
Yeah. So.
If you can.
Hmm.
Really will help. It will create a little more space.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And it will release endorphins, which are natural painkillers.
Right. Yeah.
it just feels like you're opening more. Even just the awareness of the sadness already opened the space a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
You feel that?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So whatever you're going through is not interfering with your sort of path, your deep path.
No, it's part of it.
Yeah, clearly. Often it is, you know. Often these things really are kind of catalysts. They sort of force us to be aware.
Yeah, it's just, it's so interesting because I've been dealing with my mother's cancer and chemo, and she's really in a bad place, and she may die. And
yeah.
And then my partner got cancer just
month
and a half ago, and surgery, and then I'm having this physical pain now. So.
You've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot.
So let this stay, just really let your heart circulate and cleanse itself, you know, let it release. Because you have a lot of, you have a deep access to this light here, this presence. It'll be very helpful through all of this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just have this tenderness towards yourself and your mom and your partner and your own condition, everything is just to bring love to it and tenderness. That's what the body needs, that, particularly when it's in pain.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, tenderness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been just opening my heart, these experiences, a lot.
Yeah, I can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just wanting to open and move and deepen. And you know, it might actually create in some miraculous way healing as well. I've seen this happen. Not to expect it, but it can. Yeah.
What's happening with my mother and I?
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And I feel, there's a way in which I feel grateful that, you know, for what's occurring, even though it's
painful.
Wow,
I get it.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Because you're so here, you see, and this is really where life is. Because everything else, I mean, life at some point is going to be something else. I mean, it's going to, you know, this so-called appearance is going to disappear.
Yeah.
And but when you're here fully, this is the point. It's the purpose and the meaning of life.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt more here than ever in these last few months because of what's occurring.
I know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Let's just sit for a minute, just in silence for a couple of minutes. So, is anybody else like to come up?
Great to be here.
Speak up.
Okay. I'm feeling some terror.
Okay.
And I mean, it's been... But anyhow, suddenly this is terror thing.
How long has this been going on?
It just popped up.
Oh, so it just came out. Okay, like I say, you know, more space, more movement. So let's sit with this.
Yeah.
You know, I often tell people if you feel like you want to run out the door, it's a good sign, you know. It's something's almost moving, in other words.
Yeah, it's not like running out the door what it usually is. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a pushing away from relationship.
Sure.
And lately, there's been a lot of suffering. Like, I'm listening to people that are in a lot of suffering, and then there's been some today. Something's being triggered, mm-hmm. that I haven't ever noticed. That there's some reaction that I'm going to be pulled into the suffering.
Oh.
And it has probably some history, like alcoholic mother or father that had a stroke kind of thing. And so if I put that aside, there's something that happens, some kind of bind, I think, that happens when I listen to the suffering that's... And I think in the past I've been avoiding the fear, the feelings, and the fear underneath that. I just avoid. So it feels like it's coming up.
Okay. So the important thing, Jan, is just to be here right now.
Mm-hmm.
You've already kind of put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So feeling your feet on the carpet.
Yeah, okay.
Your hands on your legs. Mm-hmm. Just look at me here.
Okay.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Feel the chair, the contact with the chair. That's good. Now you're here.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just sit here. Is that okay?
Yeah. Usually I'm squirming at this point, but it feels good to... Mm-hmm. Just be, yeah.
Just feel the breath. Just feel the breath. That's it. Just breathe. Just get out of your head. Just breathe. Be in your body. Just feel what's going on here now. In your heart.
Mm-hmm. And a shakiness kind mm-hmm. of in the trunk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just let it happen. It's just a movement. It's just an opening happening.
I'm not sure where to go if I'm not in my head. Okay, into my feelings. Okay.
Just sense. Put your attention in sensing. So seeing, hearing, sensing, feeling, breathing. That should give you plenty to do.
Yeah.
If you can do all that at once, that's very good.
Mm. Yeah, especially, yeah.
Yeah, and then maybe awareness will come to the foreground, because then when awareness is aware of itself, paying attention is effortless. There's no one paying attention anymore. That's it. You feel that for a second?
Yeah.
That's it. Give that attention. That's it. This is your real self. Presence. It's the only thing you can rely on.
Yeah, it feels scary.
The body's going through some fear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just be this presence right here in the foreground and let the fear move. Mm-hmm. Breathe. Okay. That's it. Like Christy, be in your body, feel your bones, be aware of your structure, your skeleton. You know, it's like a redwood tree. Very grounded. That's it. That's better.
Yeah, my shoulders kind of want to go up.
Now try to be still. Not with tension. Just be. Bring yourself to a place of stillness. See, when you become still, the chi can move. The prana can move. The ki, whatever you want to call it, can move. If you're constantly squirming, it won't. It will stay in a holding pattern. Okay? This is yogic practice. Mm-hmm. So you want stillness right now. There you go. That's better. See, when you really drop into stillness, the presence becomes amplified. You start transmuting this stuff. This fear will start turning into light. See what I'm saying? It's alchemy.
Okay.
Good. So like he was saying before, that your pain becomes liberating. You know, your situation can actually, this fear can actually transmute and transform. If you let it. That's it. Right there. See how you're stopping and letting the stillness in? Good.
It feels like I'm on an edge of the stillness and the fear.
It's okay. I'm helping you here. Mm-hmm. Stay on the tightrope. No safety net. Abyss below.
Yeah, I can't. No.
You're already gone. We should come up with a video game. Yeah. On the tightrope of awareness. I like it. Yeah. Can we do that? Ready? I want to do that one.
That sounds good.
That's it. Try to be still. I can't remember if it was Sartre or Kafka or whatever. No exit, you know?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can't get away. There's a party that wants to get away. Your body's conditioned to get away. That's what you were describing earlier.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that primal terror is coming up, and that primal terror could actually be the doorway to freedom. Oh. It can be. It is. Mm-hmm. I'll be clear. It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so see how we're using it? Or you don't? You're giving attention to it. It's guiding you. It's the tightrope. Don't think about it. Never mind. Some party is getting us. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it's like there's a little scurry.
Yeah, so just be aware of that. You're not going to stop that exactly, but the awareness of it is what's going to be liberating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Stillness will happen by itself. Real stillness. That's it right there. See this? You have like micro moments of absolute stillness. That's what I keep trying to point out to you so you can see them. I think you do, actually. I know you do. This presence.
I kind of went to... that it's all happening in the stillness. The scurrying is happening in the stillness.
Okay.
And that's probably the head, though.
You're on the right track. Okay. So continue with this. Mm-hmm. I think you'll be discovering more and more.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for coming up.
Okay.
It's good to see you. All right, so we have a little bit of time now just to sit in silence for a little bit before we come to a close for today. So just make yourself as comfortable as you can and if you've gone off into some mental world, bring yourself back just into sensing and breathing. Feeling, opening. And allowing whatever is. One of the things I talked about also on the retreat last week was, and I think that Christy was bringing it up in our conversation, was this realization that we're always just here, you know. And I would invite you, you know, in your travels, in your apparent movement, to actually remind yourself that you're just here. Because here is where it's at. And otherwise we're either coming from or going to. There's a kind of unsettledness in our being, trying to get somewhere, trying to fix something, trying to figure something out, trying to get rid of something, trying to enlighten something. So I really am delighted and grateful that you're here and that you're able to make the journey, whatever journey you came on, to be here today. And I love being here with you, and I look forward to seeing you hopefully in the near future. And in the meantime, take wonderful care of yourself, and happy trails.